Today we're diving deep into a real paradox of a thinker, Baruch Spinoza. Just picture this. It's the 17th century Dutch Republic, and you have this humble lens grinder, the solitary guy, and his job is literally killing him, you know, from breathing in glass dust.
And while he's doing this, he's quietly polishing a philosophical system that just, it redefines everything. God, reality, us.
It's an incredible story.
It is. I mean, Spinoza might be the most dangerous philosopher of his time. He had almost nothing. But he gave the modern world the blueprint for the secular state, for free speech, a vision of nature that we're only now catching up to.
So where do we start with a figure that monumental?
We have to start with the breaking point, the moment it all changes for him. In 1656, Spinoza is hit with the cherem.
The excommunication.
The harshest one the Amsterdam Jewish community had ever issued. They cut him off completely. For, and this is the quote, abominable heresies.
And that exile, that's what pushes him to write his masterpiece, The Ethics.
Exactly. And he writes it with this cold, rigorous logic. It's laid out like one of Euclid's geometry proofs.
Which is pretty intimidating. But his core idea, monism, is actually quite simple, isn't it?
At its heart, yes. It's the idea that there is only one substance in the entire universe. Just one. Everything is connected because everything is part of the same single thing.
He's smashing that old divide between, what, mind and matter, God and the world.
Completely. And he gives that one substance a famous name, Deus in natura.
God or nature.
God or nature. They're interchangeable. God isn't some king in heaven judging us. God is being itself.
Yeah.
The active creative force of the universe, we. You, me, the stars, the trees. What's the modes of that substance?
Modes. So we aren't separate from God, then?
Never. The best analogy is the ocean and its waves. We're the waves. We rise, we crash, we seem individual for a moment. But we are never, not for a second, separate from the ocean itself. We're just what the ocean is doing in a particular place at a particular time.
Okay, but if we're all just waves in this giant ocean of God nature, that leads straight to determinism, right? I mean, he basically says, we think we have free will only because we're aware of what we do, but completely clueless about why we do it.
That is the essential challenge in his work. Yes, but it's not fatalism. He doesn't say just give up. For Spinoza, true freedom is when we stop being slaves to our passions, you know, fear, hope, anger, these external forces tossing us around.
Like a wave being tossed by the wind.
Exactly. Freedom is achieved when we start acting according to our own reason. When we understand the necessary way of things and align ourselves with it, it's freedom through understanding, not freedom to do whatever we want.
And that idea flows right into his politics, into the theological political treatise. That book was pure dynamite.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he basically invents modern biblical criticism. He treats the Bible not as the perfect word of God, but as a historical text written by humans in a specific time and place.
Which means miracles.
Miracles are impossible because God is the unbreakable laws of nature. God can't break his own laws to, you know, part a sea. That would mean God is acting against himself.
And the political takeaway from all this is it's the foundation of liberalism, really.
It is. Spinoza argues that the true purpose of government is not to rule by fear. It's to free every man from fear. The ultimate goal of the state is liberty.
So people have the freedom to philosophize, the freedom to think.
And you see that idea echo for centuries. Albert Einstein, for one, was a huge admirer. He said he believed in Spinoza's God, the one who reveals himself in the orderly harmony of the universe. That's a scientific worldview.
And even now, today, he's being called the prophet of the green earth. Thinkers in the deep ecology movement, like Arne Naess, they point right back to Spinoza.
Because if the river and the person are just two different modes of the same substance, then polluting that river isn't just an external act. You are literally damaging a part of the whole that you belong to, the ecological self.
It's a powerful idea.
And it all leads to this, this secular spirituality. He calls the highest human joy the amor Dei intellectualis.
The intellectual love of God.
Which isn't some mystical vision. It's the deep, abiding peace that comes from understanding the universe and your place in its necessary rational order.
So a final thought for you to take away. Spinoza's invitation is to stop hoping and fearing and to start understanding. And if he's right, if matter itself is vibrant, divine, and alive, then what does that say about our modern industrial worldview, which so often treats nature as just dead stuff for us to use? Does it mean we've built our entire world on a fundamental mistake he tried to fix 400 years ago? Something to think about.